Now, before we move on to find out about the actual research that will benefit from the new technique, we first join Sarah Boundy from Diamond's communications team for the latest news from the light source, starting with some eye-opening research.
Yes, a group has been studying the microstructure of the peripheral cornea. The cornea is the external lens of the eye. It's responsible for refracting incoming light onto the crystalline lens behind it, which in turn focuses it onto the retina. To function, the cornea needs to be transparent to visible light. It also has to possess high mechanical strength and have precisely defined curvature to focus. And the research was carried out by a team from Cardiff University, and they're using Diamond's non-crystalline diffraction beamline, I-22, and also the ESRF in Grenoble, France. And their results were recently published in the Biophysical Journal.
And so what were the scientists looking into about it?
Well, they know that 90% of the thickness of the cornea is made of something called the stroma, which is a thick, transparent layer primarily composed of collagen fibrils. So the shape of the cornea is thought to be strongly influenced by the arrangement of collagen fibrils in the stroma and surrounding tissues, and it's this knowledge that is key to understanding how corneal disease and surgery can affect vision.
So I guess by having a good insight of the structure, you can see how disease perhaps damages it, and also when reconstructing it, say, with surgery, you'll have a better idea of what needs doing.
Well, that's right. Their results showed that the fibril diameter is constant in the centre of the cornea, but increases rapidly when moving out towards the periphery. So this may be an important factor in understanding how the cornea responds to surgery involving peripheral incision, for example, cataract surgery. So one of the side effects and complications is astigmatism, and this research will help to explain observations by clinicians that the extent of astigmatic changes depends on the location the cut is made.
So very useful in the post-surgical time as well, I guess, after corneal surgery. But as well as, say, the eye, scientists here have also been looking at viruses.
Yes, a group has used one of our macromolecular crystallography beamlines, IO3, to look at the ancestry of viruses. So this is research carried out by Oxford University's Wellcome Trust Centre for Human Genetics, and it was published recently in Structure. Just as humans have an ancestry, so too do viruses. So the group are currently working on piecing together a complete history of viruses by solving the 3D structures of the virus proteins.
So is not much known then currently about viral structures?
Well, viruses are really large, complex structures, so it takes a lot of time and effort to solve the structure of the proteins involved in them.
And which viruses then have they been looking into so far?
Well, the group have successfully solved the 3D structure of the protein D13 from vaccinia virus, which is a member of the poxvirus family. So this protein is a scaffolding protein, and its particles, or virons, take the shape of a sphere as the virus starts to form before D13 is lost and the viron takes on a more brick-like shape. And this is the first time they've been able to determine the structure of the protein D13.
And why is it useful to know, say, this particular virus structure?
Well, they found that it has a very distinctive shape, a shape that is also found in large DNA viruses such as human adenovirus, which is a cause of respiratory and eye infections. So by comparing the structural similarities of the different viruses' scaffolding proteins, they can determine the lineage of vaccinia virus and place it within their virus family tree.
And I guess an application then of knowing the structures is really then to possibly come up with better treatments as well, or antivirals maybe.
Well, exactly. Knowing who or what a particular organism is descended from can tell us a great deal about how it might function. So in the case of viruses, this kind of knowledge could help us to find new ways to treat them. We could be looking at drugs that could treat patients who are suffering from one of a number of viruses, just in the way that we use antibiotics to treat a number of bacterial infections.
So treating, I guess, a family of them rather than very specific viruses at a time.
That's right.
And now what about more in-house news for Diamond?
Well, we now have our summer 2011 issue of Diamond News, that's our biannual newsletter. So this one includes research looking at altruistic bacteria, metal organic frameworks for sustainable storage solutions, and tunable polymers, which are enabling scientists to create colours without using pigments. There's also a roundup of some of our PhD students in there, and some updates on the facility as well. So there's lots going on. Copies are available from our website.
And as well as news updates, you've also got more multimedia content. content online now as well.
Yes, we've been working on some new video content. You can see the first instalment, which we've called We Are All Scientists, and that's on our website education pages. It features clips of scientists and engineers talking about what fascinates them about science and what they think of the Diamond Synchrotron and why it's important to them.
Thanks, Sarah. Sarah Bandy from Diamond's communications team. And you can access the videos Sarah discussed, as well as plenty of other multimedia content, online at diamond.ac.uk.